C1G.
Number 8B.
So can you see if we have a symbol like the fourth day, and it just studied a bit in the Bible and read a little bit in the textbook what Mrs. Eddy says, and we get the sense, yes, principle, or the fourth day gives a sense of government. How infantile such an interpretation is, because we interpret it from a subjective standpoint, from a humanly subjective standpoint. How much do we see when we, as we have done just now, interpret it through the system? Say, what does it mean from, what does principle mean as the system of divine metaphysics? What does it mean when it shines on the earth? That it means that the earth must reflect the light. But if the light is a system, then we must reflect within ourselves a system, and therefore culture ourselves into a consciousness which is structural. And how then we can see that only then really a principle, a soul, begins to rarefy that principle by really having control over that system. And that therefore, at that moment we say, now we have found the point of interpretation. Now I interpret everything from principle through that system. What happens is that we have periods of progress. Can you imagine something more satisfying for human life than progress in spiritual, in the spiritual field? We have witnessed, I think, perhaps all of us somehow, progress in our jobs, progress in school. We were successful, perhaps in school, that was nice. Successful in business life, that was also nice. But it never satisfies in the least what satisfaction we get out when principle uses us for bringing out principle's system. That is a satisfaction in life which nothing can surpass. Nothing. It's of a quite a different category. We come to the fifth day of creation, again, a completely different point of view, and we see it right away through the symbolization that the Bible uses. The Bible uses the symbol of the fish and of the fowl. Both are, so to say, symbols of life. The fishes were always a symbol of multiplication. They multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. You had them by the thousand, 10,000, 100,000 in your rivers and on the shore and in the lakes and in the ocean. The symbol of bird is life, because if the birds fly above the earth into the open firmament, they are not earth-bound. They have not the weight of earth. They are like angels flying above the material universe into the ideational universe, the metaphysical universe. So we consider now that fifth day, and the overall epitome that I've given here shows that life individualizes infinitely. And you get a great sense of infinite individuality. And it individualizes infinitely through the method of multiplication of ideas. So you get, as life, individuality of life, the multiplication of life. And we all like that, especially multiplication. We may also like individuality. What do we do in order to get it, if we like it? See, the moment we like something, we like to get it. How do we get it? And if we can see now that every idea has identity, so that there is a definite identity of our true individuality, if we see that every idea has identity, we must also see that these identities have a place, value, in the whole metaphysics. What is their place, value? For instance, you can see that life comes after principle. Which means what? Which means that we will never, never, never find our true individuality without going first and establishing first in our consciousness what is mind, what is spirit, what is soul, as the principle of my being. Because what is individuality? Individuality is not something per se. It's actually principle restructuring itself. So that every structuring and new structuring of principle brings out that principle in an individual way. And that's our individuality. Our individuality is therefore principle at the individual point of calculation. And so we find here that therefore that fifth day is only possible after the fourth day, because individuality is one way of how principle expresses itself. And principle is infinite, therefore principle expresses itself always in new structured way, which is therefore infinite individuality. So that the one becomes infinite. So that the one multiplies and multiplies so that we have infinite individuality. So that each one brings out a different individuality. There are not two that bring out the same individuality, which means it's no use to try to imitate the other, because that goes against individuality. See, it's no use that, especially in, you see that also in Christian Science, that a student has perhaps as an ideal a practitioner or a teacher or anybody in the church who is for that student an ideal way of expressing that principle, and then naturally the desire comes up, I would be like that one. And they begin to imitate that one, they begin to talk the same way, they say the same thing as the other one, they behave the same way, they take on the same mannerism and the same diet and the same hat and the same everything, you know. It's killing individuality. Individuality must be drawn directly from principle. Then it is individual. Now, how does the Bible and then Mrs. Eddy bring out this whole sense of life? The very first verse gives a sense of life as mind. The Bible says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. You have right away the abundance of life. We could see that we can never really, dry out principle. Never, we can never use principle until it is dried out, or what you say, it's empty, huh? Dried up, huh? Yeah. Well, you know what I mean, huh? It's a principle that never loses anything by using it. It doesn't dry up, yes. And therefore, here is a symbol of the abundance of life. We have that abundance of life if we go back to an immaterial principle. And the moving creature that has life, and fowl that fly above the earth into the open firmament of heaven. And Mrs. Eddy takes up the following subject. You have as a marginal heading, soaring aspirations. So that very first tone is all about those fowls that fly above the earth, above the material sense of things, and so she introduces there those three stages that we usually have in the material world: the symbol of the solid, the symbol then of the liquid, and the symbol of the aeriform. You can see there are 3 degrees, and in an ascending way, because the first is the solid form. When that begins to get a bit lighter and no more so earthbound, it is liquid. And if we go further up and have it even less earthbound, we get the airy form. So she picks up these 3 and says, now, what are those soaring aspirations? They are on the level, say, of the solid. She takes there the rock and the mountains. Aren't they very solid? Huh? So she takes the symbol of the solid, of the rock and the mountains, and first gives them a soaring sense and says they actually only stand for solid and grand ideas. So the first way of lifting ourselves out of the material, the fowls, is by seeing first that which seems to be solid matter, that they are only symbols for high ideas, for solid and grand ideas. Then she takes the second form, the liquid, the fluid, and compares them with the animals and mortals, she says, present the gradation of mortal thought, rising in the scale. Can you see again the soaring aspiration? Rising in the scale of intelligence, taking form in masculine, feminine, and neutral gender. So you have the second stage of ascending, that first you say behind those dead things like rocks and mountains actually stand living ideas. Behind the more fluid forms of animals and mortals, after all, they can move around, whereas the rocks can't. So if you take that more liquid, fluid sense, they show the gradation of mortal thought, and mortals can rise higher in consciousness, but still in the mortal, but they can rise higher in the scale of intelligence. And finally, she takes the highest sense, more the aeriform sense, namely the fowls which fly above the earth. These are the other ones where the earth and on the earth. Now we have above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And what are they? They are the soaring aspiration beyond and above corporeality. So finally we are lifted out of the mortal corporeal sense to the understanding of the incorporeal and divine principle love. So, taking that all together, what does life as mind show as on the first point? It says that we can only have the multiplication of life and the individuality of life if we first rise above that which is limitation and limits us. To rise above the solid, above the liquid or fluid, and actually finally above the earth into the open firmament of heaven, really the aeriform sense, which is metaphysics. Metaphysics is the realm of ideas, and therefore life says your resurrection or your exaltation lies in this, that you rise above the mortal. How do you do that? By first seeing that behind material objects are ideas, and you lift that out of the material. By seeing that behind animals and mortals there is something higher, namely that they can rise in consciousness. And finally, the third, the fowls that fly above the earth, we can really have those soaring aspirations which go out into the world of metaphysics, the world of ideas, into the open firmament of heaven, where there is no more limits. Only ideas are without limits. Material objects have limits, and also human thoughts have limits. They are all limited. The only thing that is no more limited, that is open, are ideas. They are limitless. Once we have seen that life is ideational, that life is metaphysical, then the Bible goes a step further and shows that life from the standpoint of spirit. Namely, the Bible says, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Interestingly enough, the Bible doesn't say, and God created a lot of tiny little fishes and little creepy crawlies and so on. It says, and God created great whales. Well, what does it mean? My epitome here is that life individualizes itself in spiritual natures, because that's how Mrs. Eddy then explains it, that life is individualized, that metaphysical realm is a realm of spiritual values, of spiritual qualities. What measure of spiritual qualities? Abundantly. The water brought forth abundantly. Therefore you get in life always an abundant sense. Well, an abundant fish is a whale, for instance. Huh? He's quite abundant. He's really a big thing. And therefore Mrs. Eddy takes up that sense of the whale, namely that spirit is symbolized by strength, presence and power, and by thoughts, and also by holy thoughts winged with love. So what does it show here? It shows that individuality of life, or that metaphysical realm of life that has been shown as life as mind, now is being shown as reflecting all the nature of God, spirit's nature. There is no limit to the qualities. There is no limit to spiritual qualities. Nobody can be separated or deprived of spiritual qualities, because they are right here at hand, can be welcomed by everybody. Nobody can prevent it. Think of the vast realm of abundance. That here we sit or stand or where we are, and can say that all the qualities of God are mine. There is no limit to it. And naturally, it is only a quality of our accepting these qualities, instead of rejecting them, instead of always saying, I'm little, I'm not important, I'm insignificant, I'm only a little pebble on the beach, I'm actually nothing. This is not life as spirit. Life as spirit says to us, the more you take of the spiritual qualities, the more you show forth the true individuality. And therefore afterwards brings us to the nature of man. So our consciousness is really that of life and life gifts, 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 gifts. Life gifts without merits. Life is grace, the grace of life. It's the gift of life. That life is an enormous well of life, an inexhaustible well of life. Pours out, pours out, pours out, more than what we can accept. It's up to us to accept it, accept it. And only when we accept the outpouring of life, we are really a whale, a great whale. Yeah, you laugh, but I think we had those great whales, you know. Those prophets were great whales. They were standing alone against the whole world, and yet they knew the truth. And that, as you said, it was symbolized by strength, presence, and power. They had that strength and power to stand for the idea. Or Paul was a great whale. Think of Paul. How, what wonderful qualities he had. He had the qualities of manhood, he had the qualities of womanhood, he had the qualities of childhood, accepting, he had the quality of power, he had the quality of courage, he had the quality of perseverance. You name it, those qualities. You take all those qualities from mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and he had them. He was a great whale. And that whale sends, has wings. It's winged with love. And you always see that a strong person can be always tender. Only somebody who is inwardly not strong cannot be tender. It's always a sign of great power, great capacity of being aware of the mastery over the circumstances that gives that tenderness of being winged with love, the feminine qualities. And so here, Mrs. Eddy shows how we can bring out those divine qualities that make up our true individuality. The way Mrs. Eddy presents them is absolutely gorgeous. If one analyzes the text and knows the tonality of it, you can just see that she says that how do we get our true individuality? How is life individualized through spiritual nature? And she said, well, start with holy thoughts, mind. Then get the spiritual atmosphere, spirit. Then that will reproduce itself, soul. And that will reproduce what? It will reproduce the nature of principle within you, so that there is isomorphy of principle and you. And that brings out the individual in you. And not only the individual life, but also the true form of that individual, truth. And all that brings you spiritual blessing, love. All that is in a paragraph, and it's just a matter of being able to read tone-wise instead of grammatical-wise, to read the spiritual syntax, and the whole order flows out, which then says, and that is a subjective state of spiritual understanding. So individuality is a subjective state of spiritual understanding. It's up to each one to decide if he wants to be a little fish or a whale. It's up to him. Then she goes on to life as soul, and in life as soul we have the following, and you see here again comes in the brick break. Because it says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful. Now, can you hear now, suddenly the fishes have to be fruitful. The command is that the fish be fruitful and multiply. It's now no more that God says, I multiply. But now the ideas multiply, and we will see here is a great break that will bring in something completely new, and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowls multiply in the earth. And what she brings out here is the tone of soul, because she says, where does that multiplication take place? It takes place in spiritual sense. It doesn't take place anywhere. So we must see that multiplication is experienced by us in an individual way by using soul sense, by using spiritual sense. It does not multiply, she says here very clearly, it does not multiply in a material way, in a external way. Multiplication is something that shows itself forth in spiritual sense. Therefore, the great, great, great whales that we usually had in our life were not very rich, were not very accepted. Take the whales, the prophets. They all were persecuted, put into jail, like Paul too. See, they were too much interested in the real thing that they were trying to build up materiality. And so it is within spiritual sense that the multiplication takes place. And so finally it says, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And we couldn't make head or tail of it if you would read that, but Mrs. Eddy sensed the tonality of life as principle, and shows that it is the method of life which leads through scientific interpretation to an exalted sense of being. So you have life, principle. How do we arrive at life that is above the earth, that is above materiality? And she says it's only possible through the interpretation, until science becomes the interpreter. Again, you have that. You see, we are life as principle. Always principle ask for system, for interpretation. So that we actually only will find our true sense of life if we understand something about the divine principle. Okay.